Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Canty and Carlin podcast.
It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. He is Chad Brown. I'm Randy Scott. We're in for the guys. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And Chad, I don't know if you have worked with Matt Jones all that often out of Kentucky fame.
Just 2 days ago, we did a full almost hour on Will Levis. It was fascinating.
Yeah, wasn't it, though?
Yes.
Ultimately, a waste of time. As it pertains to the first night of the NFL draft. Let's welcome in Matt Jones, host of Kentucky Sports Radio and ESPN radio host as well. He's at KY Sports Radio, at Kentucky Sports Radio. And he got his hands in a lot of different things, a lot of different businesses, probably a future in politics if you catch him in an honest moment. Matt, are you worried about running for office in the future and having your stance on Will Levis held against you?
First of all, I want to say I do not like either of you after that intro, and I don't like Shannon Penn, who probably made that drop to start. And I don't like the Houston Texans or the Indianapolis Colts for passing on my guy Will Levis. You know, I have to tell you, a lot. I was shocked. Not so much. I mean, I know I predicted with Chad the other day that he'd go second, and I thought that was a possibility, but I really thought he was going fourth. I was shocked the Colts didn't pick him. And then as soon as the Colts didn't pick him, I got a text message from somebody pretty close to him that basically said, if we don't go to the Titans at 11, it may not happen tonight. And I you know, it makes sense because if you look at the teams besides those four, you could make a case that picking a quarterback in the first round didn't make sense for anyone else. But, you know, Will still probably – I think he was – to me, he's the best quarterback in the draft. But even if he's not, he shouldn't have been any worse than the third. I was shocked they picked Anthony Richardson, but they did. And so now Will drops. And here's what worries me. I think if he drops past the Titans tonight, he might drop even farther. I mean, like this, it may not be a short night for him tonight, which is kind of crazy, but probably true.
All right, Matt, when I played defense in the NFL, obviously we have to communicate on the field. And occasionally one of my teammates would give the wrong call, but you got to communicate it loud. And we would say, loud and wrong. You were loud 2 days ago, and you were wrong about Will Levis.
I was loud and wrong. You're right, Chad.
Loud and wrong. With the 34th pick tonight, the Detroit Lions, you think that's a possibility? If you look at the early second round, that's maybe the only place where I could see, you know, there may be some uncertainty about Jared Goff and how they want to move forward there. Dan Campbell maybe looking to find a guy through the future. You think that's a possibility?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, you would know that situation better than me. I had thought maybe the Rams, but I talked to a couple folks earlier today that said that's unlikely. So, I mean, I think here's what I know. I think he and his folks are sitting there saying they're looking at that Titans pick, and they're thinking if he will either be gone by the Titans because somebody traded up to get him, or the Titans picking. But if neither of those happen, I think they're worried about the fall. You know, here's what happened. And this is a perfect example of how you can make mistakes that can really cost you. I really think his interview process was a hindrance. And I mean, I don't know. Former players can tell me if they think this matters as much. But during the combine, I got a text message from someone after the first day of the combine that was there, that's kind of in the NFL, that said, hey, I know Will's a guy you like a lot. Try to get a message to him to slow down and calm down. He's turning people off.
Oh.
And I passed it on and said to folks, hey, maybe tell Will to turn it down a notch. And I think now you're starting to hear that come out from people to say he was, you know, here's the thing. He is a confident guy. Some people can see that as cocky and arrogant. I think he probably went into the draft process thinking, I'm going to show this confidence. And, you know, maybe it didn't rub people the right way. because I don't think there's any doubt that the interview process hurt him. The toe stuff, I don't believe. I mean, I've heard his toe is like 98% now. So I think it was probably interviews and personal stuff that kind of hurt it.
Hey, we're talking with Matt Jones, host of Kentucky Sports Radio, ESPN radio host. You've heard him on this show and other shows before. You know, a fan of Will Levis's, right? As a fan of Kentucky football and a fan of what he could represent at the next level on Sundays. We heard from Todd McShay kind of what you did as well, Matt, that the interview process maybe wasn't as kind to him as they would have hoped, but that also he plays like a linebacker in that he is a magnet for contact, quite frankly, and mm-hmm. that doesn't lend itself to a long NFL career. And the comp that's coming out with specific relation to that invitation of contact is Carson Wentz, and that's a stink that you don't want on you right now.
Well, but isn't Josh Allen the same way? I mean, I think like part of me wonders if on the one hand Carson Wentz is criticized for that because those hits have turned into injuries for him, whereas Josh Allen is a tough gamer who gets the same hits. He just hadn't gotten hurt. So,
yeah.
Listen, Will does play a certain way, but I do think you have to understand he didn't play that way his senior year because in the pocket, it wasn't running around hitting linebackers against Ole Miss. In the pocket, he got hit and broke a rib. And then the next game, he got his toe injury in the pocket. So his two injuries did not occur in the pocket, or did not occur scrambling around or knocking linebackers in the head. They occurred in the pocket. And mm-hmm. and so, I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair watching him his junior year, which was his really good year. There were a lot of times I'd be like, dude, slide. What are you doing? But he didn't get hurt on those plays. He got hurt on blind sides in the pocket because he had the worst offensive line in the SEC last year, by far. Kentucky's offensive line was brutal last year. Now, none of that, though, is an excuse to do interviews that turn everybody off. And, I mean, I don't know. You all have been around as long as I have, Chad. Oh, you've been around the league much longer than me. I don't know that I've ever heard of players really crushing their status by the interview process, but I've had people around UK – people around NFL teams, and now McShay says it as well, say that was a huge hindrance, and he may have talked his way out of being a first-round pick. I like the kid, but I do think that played a big part in it.
Yeah, I think there's a need for your quarterback to be confident, but you don't want to be cocky and start getting in that Baker Mayfield territory. And maybe that's where some of these concerns came from. Matt, I will give you a break here. I won't ask you another Will Levis question. We'll give you a reprieve on that. Mm-hmm. What else in the first round was a surprise for you outside of Will Levis falling out of the first
round?
I mean,
how about the Eagles just reassembling that Georgia defense? That's, to me, the story. They get two more guys. They now have four guys from that Georgia defense over the course of 4 years. And that defense, I mean, LSU's offense with Joe Burrow is the best offense I've seen in the SEC in my lifetime, and that Georgia defense was the best one I've seen, and now the Eagles are basically recreating it. So to me, that was the story. I think Anthony Richardson going forth doesn't make sense to me. I now wish the kid the best because I think you should never wish – ill will on a player, but I'll be shocked if that kid ends up great because, like I said, I've never seen – I mean, there's never been a player enter the NFL draft, be a high-picket quarterback with worse stats than Anthony Richardson and succeed. Ever, ever. You can't find one. So maybe it'll work. Well, he's an amazing athlete. You know, we'll see. And then beyond that, I think the lack of receivers, you know, that there have been so many good receivers taken in the NFL – in the first round in the last few years. We've had so many young receivers come in the league and succeed, and then just to not really have that. And then I love the kid from Texas, Bijan Robinson, but that's picking a running back awful high. I didn't really understand that pick. I didn't understand the Lions taking the running back when they did. But those are, you know, those are kind of my takeaways. But I'll admit, I'm a homer. Randy, you know that. Chad learned it on Wednesday. You know, we don't get a lot of these guys at Kentucky. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
In my lifetime, we've had three top five picks. Tim Couch, Josh Allen in Jacksonville a few years ago, and a guy named Dwayne Robertson that went to the Jets in like 2008 or something. That's it. I thought this was going to be the fourth. I put out an ad for my bar that said, come watch the top, the fourth top five pick. And that is now maybe the most viral tweet I've ever sent, as I get dunked on by everyone in the country. But at least the bar was full. And now I get a second night of coming out, and maybe you can watch, you know, watch Will Levis get picked tonight.
Hey, it's galaxy brain stuff, you know. It's brilliant to own a bar and get two nights of packed attendance to watch Will Levis take that walk across the stage. I don't think
but
he has to wait very long
tonight.
But
didn't you think it was sad,
tonight.
Randy? Like,
yeah. Yes.
Leave aside the Kentucky part of it.
Yeah.
I just think I want you to think about, is there anything else in life where you can take a public humiliation for that long and you just have to sit there and let the world watch? Like, people get humiliated a lot, but like, then they can go away. To have to sit there for hours and hours and just have the cameras on you, man, I'm not sure there are many things that could hurt more than that process. Happened to Aaron Rodgers. It's happened to a lot of guys over the years. Rashard Lewis in the NBA draft. But I felt for Will, because that's a dude I know, and I just would hate to be in that situation.
That's just it. I'm never going to revel in someone's worst night of their lives, and someone failed him along the way. Either it was his inner circle, his agents, his representation. He was misled by NFL front offices or scout. Somebody put him in that position, because no one would willingly put themselves in that position to sit there and be publicly embarrassed on a worldwide stage. So here's to a short wait for him tonight. I don't think he has to wait much past the seventh pick tonight, so we'll see. Matt, appreciate you, buddy. And here's to a robust night at your bar as well.
That's right. And Randy and Chad, as someone who I've hosted shows with in the past, I appreciate you not being as big a jerk as I thought you were going to be to me today. You all showed me some heart, and I do appreciate it.
We are full of mercy and grace, my friend.
You show bravery.
There you go.
Bravery coming on with us, buddy. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks,
Matt.
Again, that's Matt Jones, host of Kentucky Sports Radio. And obviously, you've heard him on ESPN Radio here as well. It is Chad Brown, Randy Scott for the guys. I think, Chad, you probably showed him a little more grace than I did. I was cackling at the rejoin. And that was the brainchild of Eric and Shannon and Rachel throwing that thing together and finding the right song choice and the right breaks to throw in some of Matt's voice on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. A reminder, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance.
With the ninth pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, Georgia.
When he plays within that system and doesn't improvise, he's as good as he's ever seen up front, ever evaluated. Last year, he would have been arguably the number one overall pick.
Told him they got the best player in the job, and you know, day one, when I get there, it's time to work, and we're going to win the Super Bowl.
She's a star. Lonely heart. The part of the song that slaps or knocks is the literal knock to the song. I don't know if you remember that part. It's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Just a lot of respect in the eyes of Chad Brown. That's fine. I'm Randy Scott. Awful, awful music choices made on my part, but I respect him. We heard Matt Jones, Chad, in all seriousness, say that the Eagles were the day one NFL draft winners. I look at what they were able to do as they assemble sort of Athens North, right? I mean, they have four Georgia Bulldog defenders now, N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis, and then joining them last night is Jalen Carter and
Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith. I want to say Chad Smith. That's not the right name. You look at the talent that they're able to put together and how easy Howie Roseman makes it look. In your eyes, given who they picked last night, are they hands down the best team in the NFC?
I believe they, well, hands down.
Hands down.
Well, how much of a gap between them and the second team would fit that hands down category? Is it a massive gap? Is it just a step or two? What are we talking here? Because the 49ers got some pretty good players as well. And if Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt in that championship game, you know, we could be having these kind of conversations about the 49ers.
I think Brock Purdy was getting run in that game regardless. I give him a lot of credit for hanging in there. I mean, I watched him the other night. He was at the San Francisco Giants game, and he's shaking hands with his opposite hand. You know what I mean? Like, he's still not, certainly far from fully recovered, but like, there's still not, you know, strength in that arm just yet. I mean, that was a bad injury. They had to wait until March, I believe, to have the surgery because of the inflammation being as bad as it was. But I think Philadelphia has assembled a top-to-bottom roster. I think defensively, they cause you more problems than San Francisco does. You know, With the aging on the offensive line, I would probably give San Francisco the nod there. on the O-line, but defensively, the young talent. I feel like not only does Philadelphia have the better roster now, but they're set up for greater long-term success, and you just can't quantify. Given the injury concern right now with Purdy and the fact that Garoppolo as a safety net is gone, you're looking at a quarterback room of Sam Darnold and Purdy and maybe Trey Lance, who continues to be shopped, up against a guy in Jalen Hurts, who rightfully, for 9 days, was the highest paid player in NFL history.
As much as I love the 49ers, I did one of my coaching internships out there in San Francisco. It was a great experience. Kyle Shanahan is a remarkable football coach. The amount of teaching that goes on in that program was just fun to be around. I got tremendous respect for everything they do out there. But I think, to your point, Philadelphia is a better top-to-bottom roster, particularly now that Brock Purdy is banged up and his availability for next season, if and when it's actually going to happen, is in question. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best roster in the NFC. There's no doubt about that. And the ways that they can beat you, I mean, heck, their defensive line was good last year. They had four guys with double-digit sacks. Now you add in a guy like Jalen Carter, who can be a man amongst boys in the interior of that defensive line. Mm-hmm. Nolan Smith is a great edge guy if he's healthy. They added two pieces to that defense that was already dominant. So now they're going to be more dominant. They got more depth. Howie Roseman is certainly a genius at this, and I don't think he actually gets the credit that he deserves.
For Philadelphia to move up to 9 and have my understanding was there was the opportunity to make a luxury pick there with the Eagles because of the depth on both sides of the football, because of the depth on the roster and the talent on the roster. And I say luxury pick because, and I'd love for your opinion on this, Chad, I look at Bijan Robinson going inside the top 10 as a tremendous zag considering the way that position is valued in the NFL right now, but I think Philly was interested. I think Philadelphia viewed him as a long-term answer at the running back position, considering that they've been a running back by committee, you know, offensive attack for the last several seasons. And so Bijan going a pick ahead of them, right at 8, took that guesswork off the board, and they were able to go up and take Jalen Carter, a guy who, if we're talking about this draft back in the first few days of January, I think was the number one overall pick before the off-the-field concerns took place.
Yeah, he, in my opinion, the most talented defensive player in the draft. Again, the off-the-field stuff, I think, slid him down a little bit. But as far as pure talent, his highlight tape is it's so fun to watch. It makes me giggle. I laugh when I watch his highlight tape. Some of the things he does to some of those offensive linemen is almost criminal. So to add that guy into that front four, with the expected, Fletcher Cox getting older, Brandon Graham getting older. At some point, those guys are no longer going to be Philadelphia Eagles. Now you have another stud up there with Jalen Carter. The Eagles are ripe for another deep playoff run. They are maybe better than what they were last year.
So, okay, when you say that Jalen Carter just abuses offensive linemen, what particular aspect of his game jumps off the screen to you?
His ability to understand and play with leverage. Sometimes when you're so physically dominant, you just run through people and you don't understand the nuances of it all. Mm-hmm. Offensive, the battle between defense and offensive line, there's always a phrase that low man wins, and your ability to use your leverage against another massive human being is not a skill that every player comes out of college ready to do. I think the best defensive lineman in the NFL all have mastered that. But Jalen Carter comes into the league armed with that. He literally, if you watch his highlight tape, he tosses 300-pound men around because he understands how to get his hands underneath their pads and get them back on their heels. For a player with his athletic skill set to have that aspect of a power game with it, if you're an offensive lineman, you want to hunker down to deal with his power, then he's going to out-athlete you. You want to play light on your feet so you can deal with his movement skills, and now he just forklifts you back to the quarterback. Not many guys have answers for the guys who have such a strong skill set at both the athletic wiggle room and also the power game.
I think Jalen Carter could go down eventually as the highest end defensive prospect in this draft. All due respect to Will Anderson Jr. And obviously I want to see Tyree Wilson do well there for the Raiders, but I think some of the center of gravity concerns and footwork issues I mean, footwork injuries, if we're talking about Wilson, I just don't think are there for the other prospects the way they are, obviously, for Jalen Carter. He is Chad Brown. I'm Randy Scott. Is tonight a must-win for the Lakers? We're going to dive into NBA playoff conversation tonight. A couple of games on the slate. Tim Legler set to join us. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And Carlin, the podcast.
Durant peering in from the top, crashes over on Schroeder, explodes to the basket, scoops around Davis, and scores again. John Morant has taken over the ball game. That's the final tonight. Zeros on the clock. Streamers will fall from the rafters. The Grizzlies force a game six.
Those guys were spectacular tonight. We're going to need even more and better from them in game six, but these guys definitely play with force. That was stuff we were talking about before the game.
All right, that's 92.9 ESPN in Memphis with the sound. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Chad Brown, Randy Scott with you. Hey, hey. At Chad Brown 94, at Randy Scott ESPN for me. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can join the conversation on the CC call-in line, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Joining us now on that call-in line is Tim Legler, our ESPN analyst. You can get at him on Twitter, at Legs ESPN. We heard Doug Brown say it. Got a couple of Western Conference playoff matchups tonight, game sixes. Its coverage on ESPN starts at 8 Eastern. It's the Kings and the Warriors, and that's where I want to start, Legs. Is this a must-win for the Warriors tonight as the series shifts back to the Bay?
You know, oddly, I would not describe it as that, because this is a team, just because it's this particular team that would have to go on the road for a game seven. You know, you want to bet against a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson, a Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, with all of the experience they have, pretty much being in every situation imaginable. Winning one road game in a game seven when there'd be an awful lot of pressure on those home shooters, I don't necessarily think it's a must-win. The Kings would probably be favored in that game because we know statistically what happens in game sevens at home. But the Golden State Warriors are probably the one team that I would say, you know what, they've got two shots at this, because I kind of feel like they do. They're probably not obviously feeling that. They want a sense of urgency to end this thing tonight, because anything can happen in a game seven.
Tim, the Dillon Brooks effect seemed to give the Lakers a boost, but then the Memphis fights back, gets the win in game five, now setting up this game six here tonight. How do you think tonight's game goes with the Lakers in Memphis?
Yeah, look, this is a tough one to call, because you know, Memphis, they've got some things to give the Lakers fits when they play well. They played with so much energy the other night, and I thought they played pretty desperate in game four. They just didn't come up with the win. I'm sorry, game three. You know, so they come back. They give you everything they have at home to extend the series. And there are things that they do athletically and on the perimeter that give the Lakers some problems. But, look, the Lakers have the ultimate weapon in this series in Anthony Davis because there's no answer for him with Memphis. And he's had three really good games in this series. He's had two awful games.
Yeah.
So which one is going to show up? Because I think if Anthony Davis comes to the arena with the right mindset to do damage, and he comes out and he gets fed early, he makes himself a presence early in the game on the offensive glass. You know, he's going to be a defensive presence regardless. On the offensive glass, ISO in the mid-range area to floor, getting to his spot for that pull-up jump shot, that'll tell me a lot about where Anthony Davis is psychologically. And if he's in the right place, I just think he is the differentiation between the two teams, what he can do on both ends of the floor.
Anthony Davis is capable of 31 points. He's also capable of 13 points earlier in this series. And I'm curious from your standpoint, as we're talking with Tim Legler, our ESPN analyst here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, what's the deciding factor between which Anthony Davis we're going to get? Is it something Memphis is doing, or is it a mindset, an attitude, an imposition of will, whatever it is from Anthony Davis's side, Lex?
Well, okay, so let's take a look at the two bad games that he had in this series. One of them, I thought game two, the Lakers won that first game, and it looked to me like they just came out with the wrong approach. They were very casual in game two when they had a chance to really take a stranglehold on the series, and they came out, they were soft, he was passive, he was accepting double teams way too easily, got taken out of his rhythm because they were hitting him with these traps on the catch, and he just didn't really adjust to that. So I just felt like that was a mindset. I thought game four, he came out, and I thought he was just too concerned with these little injuries that he gets over the course of the game. I mean, every time he looked up, he's holding his back, holding his hip, taking forever to get up off the ground. I just felt like he wasn't being tough enough to play through what you need to in that moment. The three games he's been, you know, spectacular, 31-19, he had a 31-17 game. I mean, these are numbers that nobody else in the series can get the way he gets them. So it's really just, I think, between his ears. And, you know, I don't know what he eats for pregame or who gets in his ear or where his motivation comes from or if LeBron talks to him or Darvin Ham or whoever he listens to. They better do a good job on Anthony Davis psychologically, because the Lakers, I think, would be potentially in a different situation going on the road for a game seven. I think Memphis at home is a completely different team. And that would be a tall order for the Lakers. So they got to end this thing tonight, or there's a very good chance they don't advance.
Tomorrow, there's a one game. The Western semi starts tomorrow. Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. My home is in Denver. The Nuggets have been one of the better teams in the league during the regular season. But now going into round two, the Suns definitely give them a sense of competition. How do you think that series starts?
Yeah, this is a crazy statement I'm going to make for a team that was, you know, the one seed in the West. They won 53 games. We are finally going to find out how good the Denver Nuggets are. I mean, I've been waiting all year because it's been a weird year in the West. I mean, they're a very good team, clearly. They've got one of the best players in the NBA, two-time MVP. They've got a great starting lineup. They're deep. They're a very good team. They're not like a typical one seed in the West over the last 10 or 15 years. Like, those teams have been winning typically north of 60 games. Mm-hmm. They look like the clear front runner going into the finals. That hasn't really been the case with this team. You know, part of the situation in the West of why they end up number one, a lot of injuries, right? A lot of teams trying to figure themselves out, moves made at the trading deadline. You know, the Kings and Denver had pretty good health this year. They finished 1-3. That's not a coincidence that they were able to do that. So finally, and then they dispatched of a Timberwolves team that I think's got, you know, talent, and but they're just way too immature and not ready to take that leap. We're finally going to find out. And it's going to be in this round against the Phoenix Suns. It's going to be a great series. I mean, it could go either way in my book. I think it's a coin toss. I can make strong arguments for either team to get to the conference finals.
It's going to be fun to see. It's really fun to see Kevin Durant playing healthy basketball. It's really fun to see the level of competition step up as we transition into the second round of this postseason. Tim Legler, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the games tonight.
Thank you, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.
All right, Legs. The ESPN playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in Saturday for Nuggets and Suns Game 1. It's presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. All this to say nothing of the fact that the Knicks are through to the second round of the playoffs as well. We got that throwback vibe with the Heat in the Eastern Conference. He's Chad Brown. I'm Randy Scott. The Ravens get Lamar Jackson another weapon. So they give him his contract, and then they give him his flowers. Where do the Ravens rank in the AFC? Are they top five? Well, we'll debate that. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Officially, the Ravens have announced a new five-year agreement with Lamar Jackson.
The Ravens got an assist from the Falcons and the Commanders and all these other teams that are desperate for quarterback play. Those teams actually helped Baltimore keep Lamar Jackson by not creating any market for him whatsoever.
But for the next 5 years, it's a lot of fraud going on. Let's go, baby. Let's go, man.
I just want to let this breathe, man. I don't want to, like, talk over this. It's Chad Brown, Randy Scott with you. It's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Those are Friday vibes if I ever saw them. If I ever heard vibes. Are we doing it? Do you want to do it?
Fribes Day.
Fribes Day. Let's go. You combine the vibes and Friday, Fribes Day. We're going to just print the t-shirts. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. None of this is what Chad Brown signed up for. This is sophomoric immaturity.
No, I'm loving this. Again, on my show, we have Guilty Pleasure Friday. We had some Vanessa Carlton today.
Yes.
We had some George Michael. Yeah, man. So I'm all down for the old school. And I pull up to a stop sign, and I got to turn my radio down because I'm a little embarrassed songs. I'm all down for that.
Oh, man. Okay. Do you remember Office Space? Are you a movie guy, Chad? Do you celebrate the cinematic arts?
Oh, I'm a huge movie guy, and I'm a movie quoter constantly.
Okay. I hope this is not a one-off working with Chad. So the movie Office Space, when Michael Bolton is in traffic and he has to turn his radio down because whatever he's playing is too profane, right? In the movie, it's not like a guilty pleasure. It's just like a rap song. Has to turn it down. That happened to me the other day. It's a beautiful day in New England, a rare, beautiful spring day. And I had Paperboy, Diddy, playing. And it was too loud for the public library. I was outside. I had to turn that down with a quickness, so I know exactly what you're talking about. You can... Oh, my. Not bad. You can join the conversation on the CC call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who do you want to see go where tonight, night two of the NFL draft, or just your guilty pleasure song? We could do that on a Vibes Day, right? On a Fribes Day, we could do that. Guilty pleasure song?
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric, you could
we'll
dial it
requests.
Up. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at you.
If you want an explanation
Rachel,
of why I played that song, you mentioned Office Space.
Yes. That's where they destroy the printer, right?
Yes. Fax machine. But
it's a fax machine? Darn it. All right, so let's talk about the Ravens. At this point yesterday, Chad, we had the breaking news of the contract starting to take shape, the idea that they were finally getting that ball over the goal line. And then they go ahead and add a weapon for Lamar Jackson last night in Zay Flowers. I'm trying to think of how much time we have to dive into it. You look at the wide receiver room right now with Zay Flowers out of Boston College, Odell Beckham Jr., Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay. Where do the Ravens rank now in the AFC?
Okay, so we got to put Kansas City number one. We got to put Cincinnati and Buffalo in there as well. Mm-hmm. Who else do you have in that picture who has to be included in that picture?
Has to be included. I think that's their own tier. Those three teams. Let's break it into tiers. This might be a cop out, but we say KC, Cincy, Buffalo. They're in their own tier. I think that's probably 1 through 3 where I would put them. But let's just say they're in their own tier. You can quibble however you want. Then let's go. I don't know. I mean, there are those who really like what the Jets are doing, especially mm-hmm. now that the quarterback position has been addressed. People like Miami, assuming health for Tua, which is a big assumption. But let's maybe Miami's. You know, in the maybe tier two is kind of frisky or in the mix or something. I like Denver. Now, you're there. You do a radio show in Denver. You're not as bullish on what the Broncos are doing now with Sean Payton as the head coach.
I am to put them in this tier that we're talking about, this tier two tier. I can see them being tier three, but not tier two. So I'm with you on Miami. That makes sense to me. I think Baltimore has to be included in this tier two conversation. The AFC South, who's going to emerge from that? Maybe Jacksonville could possibly be a tier two team. Then the Chargers. I mean, so those are the maximum tier two possibilities that I see.
So Jacksonville and the Chargers. You know, I feel like we have this conversation at some point between probably about the draft, right? And then maybe training camp or even during training camp. And we look around and we say, man, the Chargers have a talented roster. Oh, there's so much talent on that roster. Aren't the Chargers loaded? And then what do you say about the season itself?
The Chargers are going to charge you, man. And it feels ridiculous because you know that every year is a brand new year in the NFL. And every team's a brand new team. But this thought that the Chargers are going to charge her has been going on for a long period of time. They have the ability to snatch defeat from the hands of victory, and they do it all the time, whether it's a coaching error, whether it's on the field error, whether it's sometimes even officiating errors. But the Chargers are going to charge her, and it seems to be a consistent thing no matter who the quarterback is, no matter who the head coach is, Chargers are going to charge her.
Okay, so where do the Ravens slot in here? Do we agree with the top tier being Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo? They're
absolutely 100%, no doubt.
Okay, they're in a class of their own. Is tier two the Chargers, Jacksonville, or maybe you don't want to put the Chargers in there, but Jacksonville, Chargers, and Jets? Does Miami crack in there?
I'll go Jets.
Okay.
I'll go Chargers. I'll go Jacksonville, and I'll go Ravens. So we got four teams there in tier two.
Oh, okay. All right, so you've got Baltimore in that. In that second tier, are they at the top of that tier, middle of the pack, back of the pack? And if so, what issue? I don't mean this to turn into Q&A. We're sort of doing this on the fly, but what area do they need to address in order to maybe even crack that top tier? I mean, we're talking about a former MVP, a quarterback.
Lamar Jackson's got to be healthy. He's got to be healthy all season long. So it hinges on Lamar Jackson's health. I mean, his style of play, that makes that a question mark. For Justin Herbert with the Chargers, you know, he's an in-the-pocket guy. He certainly has the athletic ability to use his feet, but he operates from the pocket. I don't feel as if he's as much of an injury risk as Lamar Jackson is. And, you know, when you pay a guy this amount of money, mm-hmm. as the Eagles said with Jalen Hurts, we're not paying him this money to do less. So the Ravens aren't going to pay him this kind of money to ask him to not run. They're paying him this kind of money because he puts his body at risk, and that's his style of play. So I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to play his style of not play his style of play. Therefore, that injury potential and risk is always going to be there.
Yeah, it is. You have to get the highest ceiling out of your guy, and in order to do that is to turn him loose and put him in a position, you know, to be himself and be the X factor that you're paying for at that money. Now, you also want to protect your investment and protect all that, you know, guaranteed money, that record-breaking guaranteed money, and maybe pushing the ball downfield, getting it out of his hands quicker. You know, that's what Flowers, you know, seems to be. And then Odell Beckham Jr., if he's healthy as well, maybe that is the guy as well. We've got Canty and Carlin from the NFL draft. How did night one go from their standpoint? What was it like to be there in Kansas City with 100,000 people? We'll dive into it. It's Chad Brown, Randy Scott in for the guys on their own show. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Canty and Carlin podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen on the ESPN app. Canty and Carlin, the podcast.